Hey, this is the national treasure and the real world's heavyweight wrestling champion, Nick Aldis, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Topics.
Do you enjoy your wrestling news and opinions coming from a beautiful flowing beard? Of course you do.
Come on, kid! Make yourself famous!
Wrestling Podcast with Chris Pinero.
Welcome to the Bearded Wrestling Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. This is, of course, the Money in the Bank 2020 review show. I am your host, The Beard, Chris Pinero, and let's talk about some other things before we get into the meat of the show. First of all, we've been doing the Ultimate WWE Champion Tournament for quite a while now, and we have the results of the tournament, and I can't believe this. Over 220 people voted in the finals. It was between Stone Cold Steve Austin and the GOAT Chris Jericho, and when it was all said and done, 69% of the people.
Nice.
69% of the people voted Stone Cold Steve Austin as the ultimate WWE champion of all time. And now, I am in no way disputing that. He was an amazing WWE champion. But remember, he was a six seed in our tournament. A six seed based on how long he actually held the title. However, his title reigns were revolutionary, changed the business as we know it, as did his feud with Mr. McMahon. And so it was absolutely a justified winning here. Stone Cold Steve Austin, the ultimate WWE champion, as voted on by you, the Bearded Wrestling Podcast fans. And a congratulations to Mags over in the UK. You won our giveaway as well. I'll be sending that out very shortly. I'll be DMing you to get your address to send that all out. The care package from last week, that's going to be all yours. Now, let's talk about some things coming up. About a month, we have WWE Backlash coming up. And last night on Raw, we actually had the very first match sort of announced. It's going to be Edge versus Randy Orton. Now, a lot of people have said they're doing this a little backwards because they're going to be doing a traditional wrestling match. But if you really, really paid attention to Monday Night Raw, you'd actually hear the motivation behind why they're doing it. And it makes perfect sense. Edge came back at the Royal Rumble. As Randy said, he had 29 other men he could hide behind. Then the next match was at WrestleMania. It was last man standing. There's no rules in a last man standings match. Therefore, it's not a better wrestler who won. It's a better person who won. So he said, let's find out who the better wrestler is. Straight up wrestling match. And that makes complete sense because he's going to be able to beat Edge and say, see, you may be the better man, but I'm the better wrestler. And to me, that makes perfect sense in the mind of a heel and to keep this feud kind of rolling, especially we're still getting Edge's feet wet, still getting him back into a regular, semi-regular kind of schedule. So I think this is a nice way to protect him. No, it doesn't bother me that they're continuing this feud after a last man standing match. I think it's fine. And it's going to be fine because of the two men who are involved. Coming up in just about a week or so, we're going to have Double or Nothing from AEW, and they're doing something different at this show that they haven't done before. It is the Casino Ladder Match. Winner gets a shot at the world champion Jon Moxley anytime he chooses with the briefcase he pulls down from the ceiling. Wait, the briefcase pulls down from the ceiling. Shot at the world champion anytime he wants. Where have we heard this before? I swear we've heard this before. It's Money in the Bank! They just blatantly ripped off Money in the Bank and they're going to run it in the same month as the WWE ran Money in the Bank. What? Why? As much as you try to be different, I mean, you had the Diamond Battle Royal with the Diamond Ring, and you've had this tournament for the TNT Championship, which is going to finish up at Double or Nothing as well. Why copy something? And not just copy it. You didn't even change the name on the homework when you copied it. You didn't even do that. You just copied it. Answer for answer, word for word. Bingo bango, there it is. And it's the same thing. Now, I said this on Twitter and someone was like, oh, but AEW is going to do it better. AEW will put on a real ladder match. Is that really what it's about at this point? It's not. You're blatantly copying WWE. You didn't even try to hide it, except for you didn't call it Money in the Bank. You called it a casino ladder match. It's the same match. And they're putting in a bunch of guys that are going to kill themselves, which that'll be fun. Right now, Orange Cassidy's in it. Don't really see him as a world title threat. Darby Allin's in it, though. Darby Allin, my pick to win it if we get there. We'll go over all of that later, but just a blatant ripoff here by AEW. But I still love ladder matches, and I still want to see this. I still want to see this train wreck of a ladder match go down, and I still want to see who's going to challenge Moxley, because frankly, Moxley versus Hager was dog turd. Moxley versus Brody Lee has not been interesting. I don't care. Give me someone new. Give me someone who had to go through war to fight Jon Moxley. And that's what we're going to get with this casino ladder match. But I mean, it's still a blatant ripoff. I mean, a rose by any other name, right? It's exactly the same match. Unless they come out with some other stipulation, it's exactly the same match. Just come on, guys. You're better than that. You are. You're better than that. So let's talk about some departures that are happening this week. It just came down on Twitter. WWE announced that Sami Zayn, formerly known as El Generico, Sami Zayn is not cleared to compete. Sami Zayn will relinquish the Intercontinental Championship. He will not be able to defend it. And a tournament will start this Friday night on SmackDown, where the winner becomes the new Intercontinental Champion. I'm bummed by this. I'm not going to lie. This bums me out to no end. Sami Zayn finally gets his moment, gets the Intercontinental Championship, defends it at WrestleMania, comes out looking like a great heel, holding the belt. And now this? Like, he can't even defend it? Like, oh. Man, my heart breaks for Sami Zayn, because everything has just been kind of stripped away from his potential and his abilities and his what should be his standing in the company. It's just gone, and he's on the shelf again, and I'm just like, man, this really sucks. But what I want to see them crown the champion of the tournament, pretend Sami Zayn didn't exist for a while. Just whoever wins the title is the new Intercontinental Champion, whether it be Cesaro or Shinsuke or, you know, whoever else you're going to have win this belt. Maybe it's Mustafa Ali. I don't care. Someone wins the belt, okay? They're going to hold the belt for the while. I want them to never mention Sami Zayn while this guy is defending the belt. Zero mentions. You can mention him during the tournament, but once the tournament's over, zero mentions of Sami Zayn. And then one day, Intercontinental Champion's going to win his, you know, defend his belt. He's going to win it. He's going to hold on to it, maybe at a pay-per-view. And then, oh, let's go. Sami Zayn comes out. He's like, dude, that's mine. He's going to be holding an Intercontinental title. He's going to be like, this is the real Intercontinental title. I never lost it. They made me give it up. I didn't want to give it up. You're holding a fake belt. Let's go. Champion versus champion. And boom! Put Sami Zayn right back in the picture. But for right now, it's such a bummer that Sami Zayn's going to be missing some time, because that cat deserves a lot better than what he's gotten so far. Just the injury bug has really, really hurt Sami Zayn. And this is just another example of that bug coming to bite. But we did see a really cool debut this past Wednesday. Speaking of Wednesday, every show from last Wednesday through this past Monday has been excellent. I would say every company has started to figure this out with the coronavirus. In my opinion, they have finally figured out how to run these shows, no crowd, and really make them connect with the audience at home, whether that's cinematic wrestling or whether it's doing heartfelt interviews right to the camera or something silly. I got a kick out of the Street Profits and Viking Raiders playing basketball. I mean, as silly as that sounds, yes, the Street Profits won 74-2 before the Viking Raiders revealed that they actually knew how to play basketball. And a lot of people called it really dumb. But I, you know, for what it was, I thought it was funny. And especially they came off of the Viking Raiders saying, anything you can do, I can do better. And I thought that was great, because here's two guys who are extremely athletic and extremely mobile and extremely, you know, their jumping ability is extremely outstanding. And then you have two guys that look like me, but heavier in the Viking Raiders. And they're like, anything you can do, I can do better. Oh yeah, jump and dunk a basketball, cracker. And that's exactly kind of what they said to these guys. And then they show at the end that, yeah, we can. Anything you can do, we can do better. We can play basketball. And so it's kind of a nice one-upsmanship that doesn't involve another wrestling match with no crowd. I mean, we're seeing a lot of wrestling matches with no crowds, and a lot of these wrestling matches could use a crowd. Something like this, where the feud is just getting started, could use a crowd. So now you've got something that didn't need a crowd that kind of advances this feud just a little bit more, as we do with the cinematic wrestling. And I'll get to the amazing example of cinematic wrestling that was brought on by Money in the Bank 2020 in just a minute. But we have one final piece of news before we move into Money in the Bank. And it comes from this past Monday night on Raw. You can see I'm wearing the man's t-shirt, because this news does involve the man. Now, some of you know Becky Lynch, one of my favorite females of all time. Let me adjust this here. One of my favorite female wrestlers of all time is Becky Lynch. I've been following her since her career in Rise as Rebecca Quinn. Followed her to NXT, followed her as she was dancing an Irish jig, and as she came up to the main roster as what people considered to be the weakest of the four horsewomen. And now she has taken her place as the face of WWE. And anyone who says otherwise is just wrong right now. The first female to main event WrestleMania, yes, with two other women, but she won it. The first female to grace the cover of the WWE 2K video game. She has broken so many barriers as this man character. And unfortunately, last night on Monday Night Raw, her lengthy reign as Raw Women's Champion, the longest in WWE history, 399 days, unfortunately came to an end last night on Monday Night Raw as she relinquished her title to Asuka. She actually revealed that, spoilers, Asuka's briefcase that she won the night before at Money in the Bank didn't contain a contract. She had the powers that be, as she said, slip the Raw Women's Championship into the briefcase to be revealed on Monday Night Raw. So the briefcase contained the Raw Women's Championship, so she technically vacated it day 398 on Sunday. But Asuka wins the Money in the Bank, wins the title at the same time. And the reason Becky Lynch is going away, as she said at the very end, because all she said was, I have to go away for a while. And it was like, oh man, that's Michael Jordan. We've been watching The Last Dance, of course. You can hear me on Wednesday Night Wallop's side podcast, Dances with Bulls, episode 3. I'll be discussing episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance with the boys from WNW. But she put a little Jordan onto it, saying, I got to go away for a while. And Asuka, of course, over the moon, elated to have the Raw Women's title. As was revealed later on in the day, or actually this morning, I believe, it was revealed that Asuka didn't actually know she was winning the title until she got out there with Becky in the ring on Monday Night Raw. So her elation was just an absolute pure emotion coming out of Asuka. And then at the end of it, Becky tells her, "You go be a warrior, I'm going to go be a mom." And to me, that was a very, very touching moment, especially Asuka just stops in her tracks. Asuka stops and looks at her and she goes, "What? A mom? Becky, a mom?" And like, she's just like, was just mind blown again. And she hugs her and she's like, Becky. And like, and then Becky walking up the ramp. And as she looks at the camera, she says, "I'm going to miss you guys." And honestly, I think every person with a heart watching Monday Night Raw looked at their television set and said, "We're going to miss you too, Becky," because she honestly has been the face of the company for the last year, year and a half, maybe 2 years. Since getting her face busted open by Nia Jax and her nose broken. And it's going to be very difficult. I mean, you've got no Roman Reigns on TV right now, who's at home with two newborn twin girls who he doesn't want to risk getting them infected, which I understand. And now Becky Lynch. Like, the two cover athletes of 2K20. Maybe there's a 2K20 cover curse. But the two cover athletes of 2K20, the two faces of the WWE right now, are out. They're gone. But Becky being pregnant, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, congratulations. Not like she's ever going to hear this ever in her life. She doesn't know. I mean, she met me once. I met her once, actually. I waited in line for like 3 hours to meet her. It was an amazing experience. She's such a wonderful human being, and she's going to make an excellent mother. But there's no way in hell she's listening to this podcast ever. I have no delusions about it. She's never, ever, ever going to hear this episode. But I want to say congratulations to Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. I'm not going to be like some people on Twitter. I'm not using their real names. Come on. Congratulations on the news and your very first child together. It's an amazing experience as a father of three. I know having a child is an amazing experience. It's taxing, it's tiring, but it's also the best thing you're ever going to do. Honestly, there is no greater joy you can have in this life than holding your child. You can get promoted, you can become rich, you can get whatever you want, the house, the car, the video game, whatever it is you want can be given to you. And there is no greater joy than holding your child in your arms, making eye contact with them, and watching them smile for the first time. So congratulations, Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch. Enjoy this journey. I know Seth's going to be on the road a lot. Becky's going home. But enjoy this journey into parenthood, this journey opening brand new doors in your life and in your heart. And I wish you both the absolute best. I know you're never going to hear this. You're never going to see this. But I wish you the best in everything you do. So let's get to it. The main event, now that we're done being sappy and talking about all the sappy, crappy, sad stuff, let's get to the main event. This past Sunday, Money in the Bank 2020. Now, originally, I kind of complained that they put this on in May because to me, the pay-per-view after WrestleMania is kind of a throwaway. Like, it's not, Well, I take that back. In the Attitude Era, Backlash always came right after WrestleMania, and it was always big continuations of the feuds or sparking new feuds coming out of WrestleMania. But it's always been kind of a lost pay-per-view. You can think back to some amazing Backlash matches, but I dare you to pick out an amazing Backlash card. It just doesn't happen. So when they put Money in the Bank in May, I kind of questioned the logic. It was just like, why are we doing Money in the Bank so early? Like, this should be in the summer, in July or June, just out of the way, like King of the Ring used to be. But here it is nonetheless. The schedule makers thought better of it, and I actually had a great time watching this pay-per-view. Pay-per-view ended at about 2 hours and 40 minutes, which was a huge surprise to me because I'm used to the last few pay-per-views have been like 4 hours, 4:15. This was 2:40. And a lot of rumor was that Vince didn't want to really go ahead head-to-head with The Last Dance. And honestly, I don't blame him. The Last Dance is an amazing documentary series. This is the second time I mentioned it on this podcast. But The Last Dance is an amazing documentary series ESPN is putting on. They put out two episodes every Sunday, and it's about the 1997-98 Chicago Bulls, which is Michael Jordan's last season with Chicago Bulls, Phil Jackson's last season with Chicago Bulls. And it's an amazing documentary series. I recommend it to anybody who's a sports fan, anybody who wants to learn who Michael Jordan is, or anybody who just wants to kill 2 hours every Sunday because there's no real sports on. The Last Dance is an amazing documentary series. And the rumor is that Vince didn't want to go head to head with The Last Dance. And I understand that because, I mean, a lot of people are watching The Last Dance. I think episodes 5 and 6 had something like 6.2 million people watching, which triples the audience for Raw. So, yeah, definitely don't go up head-to-head with that. But, nevertheless, Vince McMahon and company put on an outstanding pay-per-view on Sunday. I give this thing a definite A. There were some things that keep it from being an A+. I almost went A-, but I'm going to give it some positivity looking into the future. So I'm going to round up just a little bit, just like I'm grading on a curve, baby. So we kick off on the pre-show or the kickoff show. We had Jeff Hardy beating Cesaro in 13 minutes and 30 seconds. This was a pretty lengthy kickoff show match, despite, you know, especially after the kickoff show matches for WrestleMania were so short and sweet. This one got a lot of time and a lot of build. And as somebody tweeted out during it, why are there still barricades here? And I was like, well, that's easy. It's so Cesaro has something to slam Jeff Hardy on outside the ring. these two just, they went at it though. And I am not the biggest Jeff Hardy fan. But if he has matches like this more often, like he does here with Cesaro, and I know this is mostly Cesaro putting on this very good match. But if he has more matches like this, I could get behind a Jeff Hardy. I have a very hard time getting behind Jeff Hardy because of everything that's happened in the past. And I know he's a changed man and second chances and all this and that and the other, but the fact that he keeps making the mistakes makes it hard for me to get invested in Jeff Hardy because I'm afraid he's just going to make another mistake and disappear again for a little while. And I don't like getting invested in guys who disappear. It's very hard for me. But this was a very, very good match and a good way to kick it off. And like I said, if he can have more matches like this and really show that he's caring and that he's into it, I can get behind some Jeff Hardy right here. Then we kick off the show proper with a fatal four-way match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. Match went exactly 12 minutes long. You had the New Day defending their titles by beating the Forgotten Sons, The Miz and John Morrison, and the Lucha House Party, which Grand Metalik coming out in a very cool Jushin Thunder Liger-inspired mask. A lot of people speculated it was a Hoovy-inspired mask or a Psychosis-inspired. He put up the picture side by side of himself and Jushin Liger. It's very, very similar. And he actually said, thank you, Liger, in the post. So it's definitely a Jushin Liger inspired mask, who, of course, retired earlier this year. But the New Day gets the win and keeps their tag team titles. Then we had R-Truth versus MVP, which was interrupted by Bobby Lashley, who took MVP's spot in the match and won it in a minute and 40 seconds. A lot of confusing things going on here. R-Truth did say he wants to get back into the 24/7 title picture. He misses his baby. In fact, the next night on Raw, he's wearing a shirt that said Truth is 24/7. And it's really true. Excuse me. It's really true. He is that 24/7 title, especially now that Drake Maverick is on his way out of the company. R-Truth made that title. He also said he's going to come down to Tampa and sack Tom Brady to get his title back. Good luck, dude. Rob Gronkowski is actually the one that has it. So, I didn't understand at the moment why Lashley was replacing MVP the next night on Raw. It shows that the two of them are actually in collusion. But Bobby Lashley won it easily and in dominating fashion. And if they're building Bobby Lashley back up into what he was in like early WWE or even in TNA, Impact Wrestling TNA, they could have something here with Bobby Lashley. And I really hope that's something that they're choosing to do here, because he very much can be a very talented heel individual on the roster if they choose to do so. And I think, given the right motivation and the right amount of time to build a story, he could be a very good challenger for Drew McIntyre, if they're going to keep Drew McIntyre as a babyface for a while. But it'd be interesting to see if that is where they're going with that. Then the SmackDown women's title was on the line as Bayley beat Tamina to keep her title in 10 minutes and 30 seconds. Not much to say about this match other than what in the hell was Sasha Banks wearing. She was wearing like a red jumpsuit with her blue wig on. It was very distracting. She looked amazingly gorgeous, but the colors, woo, wow. Tamina, of course, did very, very okay for herself. Bayley drove most of this match. There was nothing really to talk about here. I'm spending too much time on it already. Match went 10 and a half minutes. WWE Universal title was on the line as Braun Strowman successfully defended by beating Bray Wyatt. This is Bray Wyatt in the sweater, not the Fiend, in 10 minutes and 55 seconds. Bray Wyatt actually thought he had gotten through to Strowman. At one point, Strowman falls to his knees and does the follow the buzzards thing. And Bray keeps saying, look, I told you I could get to him. I told him I could convince you to come home. And then Braun finishes him off, of course, with a power slam. So this is kind of setting up a turn to the Fiend coming back and taking on Bray Wyatt. It's kind of an interesting way to extend the feud by not going straight into the Fiend, because we all know, you know, Braun Strowman left the family, left Bray on his own, and now Bray wants some vengeance. But this little setup of him telling the Fiend, hey, I got this one, I can convince him to come home, you don't need to get involved, it's kind of an interesting dynamic to the feud. It extends it a month, which is nice too, because you need feuds going on. And for him to say, no, I got this one, you chill, you relax, let me take care of it. But then failing is actually an interesting way to keep this feud going. And I kind of like this storyline between the two of them where he's like, I can convince him to come home. Well, now he's going to have to convince him to come home. So very cool. The match was kind of nothing. It is what it was. It is what you expected between these two, to be honest with you. It's nothing much there. Drew McIntyre then defends the WWE title by beating Seth Rollins in 19 minutes and 20 seconds. This was a damn good match. These two absolutely brought it. They tore the house down. It would have been a classic. Now, this is one of the few times I actually agree with Dave Meltzer. If there was a crowd in the building, this match would have been an all-time great Money in the Bank championship match. Absolutely would have been an all-time great WWE title match at Backlash or at Money in the Bank, up there with CM Punk and John Cena, if there was a crowd. But because there was no crowd, there were some definite lulls in when you definitely would have heard crowd noise or chants or yelling and screaming. There were some lulls, and it took away a little bit, but not enough. It didn't take away enough for me to kill it, because I was looking at these two guys absolutely kill it. And Drew McIntyre, I was pulling for him to win the Rumble. I was pulling for him to win the title. And now that he has the title, I'm pulling for him to go to the freaking moon. Drew McIntyre is the WWE champion we need, especially after all of these part-timers have come and gone. The Goldberg has come and gone. Brock Lesnar has come and gone. Drew McIntyre is the champion we need. He is defending it left and right. He's taking on Andrade, Angel Garza, Austin Theory, Seth Rollins, you name it. Now he's taking on King Corbin next week in a special cross-brand matchup. No, it's not the wild card rule, guys. It's just simply they need to get enough talent in the building. They don't have a whole lot of talent at these shows with everybody that's leaving. So they got to bring in some different matchups to kind of keep storylines going, or else you're going to see Drew McIntyre against Zelina Vega's crew every day for the next 3 months. So I'm okay with this, but he's defending this title left and right. He's a fighting champion. He's exactly what we need from a WWE champion right now, after not seeing it on TV for a long time. And I welcoming Drew McIntyre as my WWE champion. This was just absolutely great. And then, to finish the night off, we had both the men's and women's Money in the Bank ladder matches happening at the exact same time. Now, I wondered how in the heck they were going to do this. Now, there was a lot of speculation online prior to the show even happening of how this was all going to work. There was rumors that this was filmed in clips and it was going to be shown throughout the night. That didn't happen. Thank God, because I couldn't imagine how much people would have been bitching about that. Even though they jump up about six stories in the building, six floors in one camera cut, I'm okay with that because I can suspend my disbelief long enough to think, okay, they've been fighting this whole time. Now, I'm not going to give you a blow-by-blow because the women's match did end in 22 minutes. The men's ended in 27 minutes and 15 seconds. Now, anybody with half a brain can tell you 22 minutes of fighting does not get you from the ground floor at WWE headquarters to the roof, up a ladder, and grabbing a briefcase. Doesn't happen. This was very heavily clipped, very cinematic wrestling, and a lot of fun for me. A lot of people didn't like it. I shouldn't say a lot. There were a few people out there that are very vocal about their detractions of this match. I, however, was not one of them. I loved this. From the opening salvo, when all 10 people are on the ground floor, the men are over in the gym, the women are over by the elevators, Asuka's hopping off the balcony and then getting on the elevator and dancing her way up. Just absolutely entertaining. AJ Styles getting pinned under a giant barbell and sitting there for like half an hour until he magically reappears several floors later. The food fight that Otis starts as Paul Heyman is picking out from a buffet. And why is Paul Heyman the only man at the buffet? They have this huge buffet lined up. The only person there is Paul Heyman. But a huge food fight ensues between the men and women. Rey Mysterio gets sandwiched between Nia Jax and Otis. And they just, boom, right on the poor little dude. But really, really good stuff. Dana Brooke walks into an office, sees a briefcase, plucks it down from the ceiling. Then Stephanie McMahon reveals that, hey, that's not the real briefcase. Carmella then smashes a picture of herself winning the first ever Money in the Bank over Dana Brooke. Speaking of Carmella, by the way, speaking of you, give Carmella a big you when you see her because, wow, that gear, her look, wow. Absolutely stunning, and I immediately knew she wasn't winning the match because of it. She was way too much of a distraction. That was not winning the briefcase. I'm sorry. But this was an amazing fight. You have AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan fighting through a door, and they go into Mr. McMahon's office, and he's just staring at the two of them. He goes, "Get out!" And they walk out, and AJ's like, "Oh, way to handle that one." And he's like, "Me? You're the one that pushed the chairs back under the table." And then they start fighting again. Because a nice touch by AJ Styles there. Vince McMahon kicks them out. They start walking away. He taps Daniel on the shoulder. They turn back around and they push the chairs back under the table at Vince's desk and then walk out again. So, I mean, just the little things like that just had me laughing. Baron Corbin has double attempted homicide as he throws Aleister Black and Rey Mysterio off the roof of the headquarters. They landed on a lower level roof. We all saw the pictures from the Skycam. There was a net, but it's okay. Suspension of disbelief, but they were okay. They wrestled the next night. Ending for the women comes when Asuka climbs the ladder at the same time Baron Corbin is climbing the ladder. He tries to grab her off, which I didn't understand. She responds by kicking him right in the mug, and he falls off, which, yeah, you deserve that. Ending for the men comes when Corbin and AJ Styles climb the ladder. They're fighting each other. Corbin gets hit. It causes AJ to lose his grip on the briefcase. Briefcase falls down right into the waiting arms of Otis, who is your men's winner. Now, proof, Brian Alvarez, Mr. I'm so smart about pro wrestling, Brian Alvarez, doesn't watch anything that he comments about. He asked the question on his radio show the next morning, how exactly did Otis break a step on the ladder and then proceed to climb the ladder? Okay, first of all, Mr. Alvarez, if you were watching the show, you would notice that Otis never again attempted to climb the ladder after he broke a rung off the ladder with this first step. Because, get it, he's fat. They did the same thing with Big Show years ago. It's hilarious. They step on a rung, the rung snaps off the ladder. Oh, obviously fat guy can't climb the ladder, right? Second of all, Mr. Alvarez, it's a rung. Those are not steps. on a ladder, they're called rungs. But yes, he did snap a rung off the ladder, but he never attempted to climb the ladder again for the rest of the match. He won the match when the briefcase fell out of the heavens into his arms. To me, that was a hilarious way for him to win it. And this was a lot more innovative than I wanted to give it credit for coming into it. I was like, oh my God, they're going to be running up steps. They're going to be fighting on like every floor. You had Dana Brooks slipping on a wet floor that a janitor was mopping and bumping her head. Asuka yelling at the same janitor in Japanese and him just staring at her like, what? I loved this match. And this match pushed the pay-per-view into an A for me, because one thing I think we're forgetting as the internet wrestling community and as wrestling fans, one thing I think we're forgetting is they don't have to put these shows on for us. They could just say, hey, we're going to suspend the WWE Network. If you want to pay for it to watch classic stuff, you can. But we're not going to charge for pay-per-views because we're not going to do pay-per-views. We're not going to do live wrestling. It's all going to be clip shows for Raw and SmackDown and NXT. And you don't have to watch anything. But they're putting on wrestling for us. They're trying something different for us. Can't have fans, so we're going to do a Boneyard match. We're going to do a Firefly Funhouse match. We're going to do the corporate ladder Money in the Bank match. So thank you again, WWE, for putting these on for us, because they don't have to do any of this. They choose to do it for us because we are their loyal fans and we need entertainment, and they are providing it for us. This show got an A for me, mostly because of circumstances and because of the main event. But I had a great time watching Money in the Bank 2020, and mostly, yes, because of the main events, and Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, even Bayley and Tamina was decent. Tamina, showing that she does have talent. She's not just a sofa, but, she does have some talent. And overall, this was a good show despite no Raw Women's Champion, Becky Lynch, and we know why as of Monday night. No Intercontinental Champion, and we know why as of Tuesday morning. No United States Champion, no Raw Tag Team Champions. So a lot of championships not here, a lot of champions not here. Jeff Hardy facing Cesaro when he's feuding with Sheamus. So Bobby Lashley and R-Truth, why? Who knows? But this was a fun show, very entertaining, very quick. Like I said, 2 hours and 40 minutes, just a great night. So the last thing I want to talk about from this week, of course, NXT. Those of you that know me know I'm a huge Killer Cross fan. And this past Wednesday, Karrion Kross debuted with Scarlett. They came out with an amazing entrance on NXT. If you haven't seen it yet, please go back and watch at least the entrance. They got a huge entrance for their in-ring debut, and it's absolutely telling me that they're going to be going somewhere with these guys. There's just a lot of great wrestling going on right now. I'm so excited for the future. But that's really all I've got this week. I didn't get a chance to see everything, but what I saw, I absolutely loved. Impact Wrestling, I'm going to go watch right after I record this. About an hour and a half, Impact Wrestling comes on. We're going to have Kylie Rae versus Tasha Steele. We're going to have the North in action. We're going to have the first round of the World Title Tournament. They are vacating the world title from Tessa Blanchard because she cannot break quarantine in Mexico. So they are going to have the World Title Tournament starting. Just a lot of really fun stuff on Impact Wrestling tonight. I wish I had seen it before I interviewed or before I recorded this. But I did not. So that's it for me this week. We're going to keep it kind of shorter or sweeter this week. But do me a favor. Go ahead and follow everybody. On Twitter, we are at TT_4YOU. On Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, it is Turnbuckle Topics, all one word. I am at Bearded Chris P on the Twitter. You can also follow along with Champions Advantage Podcast at Champions Pod. You can follow along with Linz herself at Linz B Honest X. You can follow along with Top of the Rope Wrestling Radio at Kuta_Junior. And of course, the boss, Ron Musto at Ron_Musto_Junior. That is all of us. Give us a like, give us a subscribe, give us a follow. Hey, and just, you know, if you got a joke, tell us a joke. That'll be fun. And until next time, make sure you keep your beards waxed, your mustaches curly, and always kick out on two. Good night, everybody.
Hey, everybody. It's your boy, The Beard. Welcome to, I guess, what would be the post video. was not planning on this, but as those of you who have been following the show for a while know, it's been getting harder and harder for me to keep a very set schedule. Things have been kind of all over the place, and that's when I put a show out. Be honest with you, there's a lot going on in my life, personally, professionally, and it's making it quite difficult for me to do this for you guys on a regular basis, or even do it for myself. A lot of changes have to be made. Personally, everything's doing all right, but I gotta find my pattern, gotta find my groove. Professionally, things are not great. I'm having a hard time. And I think a lot of that is pressure I put on myself. So, and for those of you that know me, know I love to entertain. And I feel like if I'm not being consistent, and if I'm not putting out a good show every week, on time every week, I feel like I'm kind of letting you down. I'm not being as entertaining as I can be. So I guess, in kind of a roundabout way, what I'm here in my backyard to tell you is, with a heavy heart, that I'm going to be stepping away from the podcasting game for the foreseeable future. This isn't goodbye. It's I'll see you later until we see each other again. I can't keep a schedule to do you any favors. I put so much pressure on myself in so many different aspects of my life that I don't feel like I'm putting 100% into all of the things I need to put it into, and I think it's costing me in other areas as well as here on the show. So from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you to everybody who watches, who listens. I will still be around, not going anywhere. Still have the Twitter game is still strong. Thank you to all 7,300 of you so far. I'll still be on YouTube here and there doing some things I enjoy, hopefully entertaining you as I have in the past. But as far as a regular weekly podcast show, no, I'm going to be stepping away for at least the foreseeable future, until I can get some things set. And I can get some things in motion to kind of get myself into a regular pattern and get myself feeling confident again about what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, and that I'm actually doing what I set out to do, which is entertain you guys and to entertain all kinds of people. And I feel like over the last couple months, I may have let that slip a little, and I want to say I'm sorry. I didn't give you the best show I could have given you the last few months. I didn't give you a consistent show. It was all over the place. But I want to say I'll be back. I'm going to work on some things. I'm going to learn how to do videos well. I'm going to learn how to do audio very well. I'm going to learn some new tricks. And I'm going to come back. And it's going to be a better show because of it. But in the meantime, I want to say thank you to all of you that have been watching. Thank you to all of you who have been listening. And I don't know if you've got them, thoughts and prayers as I figure this out. If you want. But like I said, this is not goodbye. This is a see you later. And I will be back. I will be better. And I promise I will do my best to entertain as I have entertained in the past. So thank you to all of you. And remember, when life gets you down, has you pinned up against the mat, always, always kick out on two.